Certainly we recognize why some people are not discerning, because there's no true relationship with Jesus. But what about believers who don't seem to be able to discern? Well, the only answer I can think of is there's sin there. There's sin. There's not what we see in Proverbs chapter 2, a clean, open heart before the Lord to desire to be controlled by Him and His Word.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, there are a lot of competing voices telling us how we should live our lives. So how do we know which voice or which ones to listen to?
You know, Dave, there are tons of voices competing for our attention concerning how we would live our lives. And there are many coming from even within the church. There are all kinds of how-to types of sermons and books. There's many different perspectives. But as we'll see today, living a godly life only requires that we listen to one voice. Our text for today's message is Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
How to divide and rightly see how God's Word applies to the circumstances, on how you raise your kids, on how you interact in your marriage, and how you deal with work, on everything that comes before you. How to apply His Word rightly. And again, I see this sorely lacking in the body of Christ. We've seen it around here. People have a lot of biblical knowledge, but cannot apply it rightly. Because as we'll see later on, they're hypocrites and stumblers. And that's what we are if we don't apply it rightly. He says, I pray that love may abound and more in real knowledge and in all discernment. Well, how do we gain discernment? We know in Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature who have, because of practice, had their senses trained to discern good and evil. And that's in the context of God's Word teaching us to discern things. But again, I need to fear Him, right? God's Word is irrelevant to me if I do not fear the Lord. Well, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, let love be without hypocrisy. Discern. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Make judgments about what is good and what is not good. Make those judgments. Throughout God's wisdom writings in the Old Testament, as you read through Proverbs over and over again, we see God encourages those who are naive to become wise based on His Word. Those who are foolish, who reject His Word, pay the penalty, right? Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. We see how God's Word, in the context of a right heart, directs choices in your life. Proverbs chapter 2. And again, it baffles me at times, but as I was studying this, I thought, this is it, Lord. This is why this happens. This is why people can know the Word and so wrongly apply things. Something's wrong. They're not discerning it rightly towards their children, towards one another, towards the church, towards their work, towards whatever it might be. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you will receive my sayings, there's got to be a heart that's receptive. Treasure my commands. There's got to be a desire that loves it within you. Make your ear attentive. You're going to want to learn to wisdom. Incline your heart to understand. You want to know God's Word and the Lord, right? For if you cry for what? Discernment. That I could decide and understand, see things rightly. Lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord God gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. He preserves the way of His godly ones. And then look at verse 9. Then you will discern righteousness, justice, and equity, and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, and understanding will watch over you. We're going to see how ugly it is when that doesn't happen in the life of a believer. When discretion isn't there. And the basics of life, whatever it might be. But here, if you yearn for the right relationship with the Lord through His Word, you yearn to know and understand and be more like Him, and you treasure His Word, you treasure wanting to be like Him. He says, then you're going to discern. You're going to discern because God gives wisdom from His mouth. So then, true biblical love is grounded in biblical knowledge that is applied in the context of discernment. Sadly, Satan uses people who don't have discernment to stumble people. They may read passages about how to raise their kids and they apply it totally wrong and their kids are all messed up. And people look at them and go, I'm not going to do that. Because they're not discerning rightly. And I could give you examples about every area in our lives where if discernment is missing, we're going to see that people are stumbled. So then, brother and sister, are you in the Word of God growing in His grace, in the knowledge of Jesus, able to discern good and evil? It's my prayer that you will abound more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. And guess what? There's a result to that. So we have Paul's prayer here first. But then we have the results, and we need to understand what it looks like so we're not self-deceived. What does real biblical love look like? Look at our passage. In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in the real knowledge and all discernment. Verse 10. So that, it's not just for your head, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I pray that you may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. Verse 10, so that the purpose, and then end of verse 10, a result, in order that. I pray that this would happen so that this would happen with the result that this would happen. So we can see what it looks like, right? When people are absorbing God's truth, real genuine relationship with Christ and discerning rightly, what's going to happen for the purpose of something which brings the result of something else? And what's that first purpose that we see? What is that first purpose? So that you may approve the things that are excellent. So that you may approve the things that are excellent. The term approve, dokimazo, speaks of the act of testing something for the purpose of approving it. It's like if you want to test gold to see if it's genuine. You're testing something to ultimately approve it. It's proving something true by testing. Proving something true by testing. And then this phrase, which is translated, it's actually two words in Greek, that's the things that are excellent, comes from the Greek word diaphero. And it's kind of an interesting word. And I wish I would have translated it this way because it helps us a lot. Dia and then pharaoh. Pharaoh means to carry. Dia, two. To carry two ways. What does that mean, to carry two ways? Well, it speaks of differing things. It speaks of things that literally differ. So the idea is testing, that you would be tested, proven to be able to distinguish between differing things. And in context, they've translated it this way. Obviously, you want to approve the excellent thing, which is excellent. Here we see biblical knowledge applied with discernment leads directly to right choices made. Discerning between two things. What should I do? What should I do? We choose the best, the excellent thing, the thing that is right. We make right choices. You see, it speaks of the ability to recognize the things that differ and thus make right choices. Does that make sense? One pastor writes, referring to this passage, the goal of this discernment is to be able to know and choose the best course of action, the biblical course of action in any situation. And let me say on the outset that nobody except Christ has ever lived a perfect life, but God wants to train us to live like His Son. And we have discernment is the art of separating out the best, the right thing, the biblical thing. Some things are good, but they're not the best. Discerning and making that right choice in real time. It's when the Word of God, through discernment, now acts upon the choices in our lives as we trust and obey Him. That's the result that leads unto right choices. So what I believe Paul is saying here is that our spirit produced love for Christ and others abounds more and more, as that does in real discernment and real knowledge, then our spiritual perceptions for the discernment of the finer aspects of the Christian life will be sharpened, and we will make the right choices in those situations. We will prove the things that are excellent. Brothers and sisters, we are plagued these days in churches with pastors, leaders, congregations that cannot and do not on a consistent basis approve the things that are excellent. Discernment is lacking. And sometimes it's lacking in our lives. And we need to abound still more and more and more. Now, certainly we recognize why some people are not discerning, because there's no true relationship with Jesus. But what about believers who don't seem to be able to discern? Well, the only answer I can think of is there's sin there. There's sin. There's not what we see in Proverbs chapter 2, a clean, open heart before the Lord to desire to be controlled by Him and His Word. Are you having trouble discerning your way in the Christian walk? Are you being tossed to and fro, having trouble discerning the things that are excellent? Well, maybe you're not saved, or maybe you're not growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus and all discernment through His Word. Are you approving the things that are excellent? The things of Christ? Praise Him. God is glorified, as we'll see, when we make the right choices by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we allow His Word to rightly control us, not wrongly control us, but rightly control us in circumstances that come before us. So the initial purpose of this abounding love is a desire to do and know and discern His will. And the initial purpose of that is to make right choices, proving the things that are excellent. Are you proving the things that are excellent in your life? When circumstances come upon you and you have a chance to react or act to those things, whatever it might be, we all fail, confess that, but by and large, we should be abounding in a love for Jesus, desiring His will over ours, it being manifest in discernment and then right choices in our lives. Now notice, there's a result. There's a result of this. The purpose is to make those right choices in Christ. But there's a result. And I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, and here we go, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Interesting. What ultimately results in the life of a believer who is absorbing and growing in the knowledge of Christ and His will, discerning rightly and applying that to their life, is that they would be sincere and blameless until, means up to that point, up to the day of Christ. Now, what is he talking about, sincere and blameless? Well, notice, first of all, the term sincere is an interesting word. It speaks of being genuine. It comes from two Greek words. One speaks of the son, and the other one speaks to judge. And it was used, it came from those who would sell pottery in the market. What they would do, the bad guys, would, if there was a crack in it, they would fill that crack with wax. And then someone who was discerning, who could make right judgments, they would come and they would take the pottery and they would hold it up to the light. And if the light came through the crack, they would know the pottery is cracked. They made a judgment. Son and judge. And it came to speak of that which is genuine, that which is sincere. You see, if you are truly allowing God's word to work, you're discerning things rightly, you're then walking rightly according to Him, then you are sincere. There's no hypocrisy, as we'll see. You're sincere. Unmixed. You're not the phony baloney one that has all the knowledge but isn't discerning it rightly. And that will be manifest because you'll see their hypocrisy. But true believers, the result is that it won't manifest hypocrisy, because there isn't hypocrisy. To be sincere until the day of Christ Jesus. You're the genuine article, the true article here. One's life will manifest the characteristic of sincerity and genuineness in relationship to their relationship with Jesus. Now, we've all seen fakers. You wonder why, how that happens? You look backwards and see it the opposite direction. Here, this is the believer that's allowing God's word to be rightly applied, discerned rightly in the situations. There's a sincerity. They're not a hypocrite. But notice, secondly, they are saints who are not hypocrites. They're sincere saints. But there are also saints that do not stumble others. Look at the end of verse 10. In order to be sincere and blameless. Now, that's an interesting word, blameless, here. It's not the usual word translated blameless, which means without spot or blemish. This word actually literally means not cut against or not stumbling against. The idea of not stumbling or without offense. And thus, you could blame someone because of the offense. That's where they translated it that way. In 1 Corinthians 10:32, it's translated, give no offense. No offense. It speaks of not putting a stumbling block in one's path. You see, the saint that is not discerning God's word rightly and thus not applying it rightly in their lives is going to stumble people. We've seen it. They're going to stumble people. But those who are applying it rightly in the context of a right relationship with Jesus are going to be sincere, not hypocritical, and they're going to be those who do not stumble. They're blameless. Genuine, not a hypocrite, who doesn't stumble others through their actions because of a lack of discernment. The Lord God does not take kindly to those who stumble people. Matthew 18:6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck, that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. Stumbling people is not a good thing. Causing someone to trip up in their walk with Jesus is not a good thing. When you claim to follow Jesus Christ and then you live a life where you don't discern rightly and you apply his word wrongly and people look at it and they stumble, that's not a good thing. But those who do so and apply it rightly will not stumble until the day of Christ Jesus. They won't stumble others. Now, what's this day of Christ Jesus? We saw it last week, and you can get the CD to get into the discussion that I shared about it, but I don't believe it's the day of the Lord. That's the day of God's wrath upon mankind. The day of Christ, I believe, is the day that the Lord Jesus will finish the job of salvation, the day that he comes for us. And guess what? If you are growing and abounding in real love and knowledge, real knowledge and all discernment, approving the things that are excellent, you're going to be sincere. And you're not going to be a hypocrite. And you're going to not stumble people all the way up to the day of Christ Jesus. That's what he's praying for. And that's what he wants in our lives. He doesn't want one of us to stumble anyone else. To be sincere. A saint that doesn't stumble. When God's love is abounding in real knowledge and all discernment, when we approve the right things, which result in being proven genuine, we will not stumble anyone up to the day Jesus finishes the job of salvation. So then we see we need to understand these truths. But notice, all of this is irrelevant if we don't have a right relationship with Jesus Christ underneath. Notice what he says here. Verse 11. Abounding love, making right choices, is ultimately the overflowing fruit of righteousness through Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. If we don't recognize this, we're going to do it on our own, and we're going to fail and stumble people, and we're hypocrites. Verse 11, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The term having been filled is a perfect passive participle. It's happened to you already, and you still are filled with that fruit of righteousness. Notice the source, which comes through Jesus Christ. The righteous fruit that comes from a relationship with Jesus is that comes just from that, from Jesus. You see, we can't do any of this apart from personally, truly relying on Jesus, abiding in him as we grow in his word and make discerning judgments and step out in faith and obey him. It's all in the context of relying personally on Jesus Christ. What do we see in John 15? Turn to John 15. It comes through Jesus Christ. John 15. Jesus says in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean. He's speaking of salvation. You can see that back in chapter 13. Because of the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me and I in you. That means remain, rest in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. All this is summarized in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. where we are relying on Him, growing in the knowledge of Him, and thus love for one another, growing and discerning that knowledge and understanding it, and then applying it rightly in our circumstances, approving the things that are right, and then being thus not a hypocrite, and thus one who does not stumble people. It's all because of this overwhelming fruit of righteousness that comes through abiding in Jesus Christ. Don't miss it. Verse 11. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ. And notice, only that will bring God glory. To the glory and praise of God. Oh, believer, when you are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, when you're growing in your love for Him, you're discerning things rightly, all discernment, you're making choices right in your life, you're applying it. When His character is manifest in your character, because you're abiding in Jesus, the result is to the glory and praise of God. It's all Him. You see, when we abide and trust in Christ, Christ gets all the glory. So please don't miss that. Don't miss this fruit that is manifest, comes overflowing. It's an overflowing manifestation of a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you have done everything you've seen up to that point, but you really, truly do not rely on Jesus Christ in a day in and day out moment, truly recognizing your inadequacy, truly trusting and believing in what He has said and believing in Him. Today's the day to make the change, to trust the Lord, to obey Him, to walk with Him rightly. So how do we live a life that glorifies God? Paul prayed that their love would grow and superabound more and more, because it's already there, but superabound more and more in real knowledge of ultimately of Christ and His truth in the context of all discernment. And this growth will occur as we humbly feel in the Word, the Lord's Word. This is where the rubber meets the road, then we will apply it rightly to life. Where God's Word is applied rightly to real situations in your life. And from that, there's a sincerity, a non-hypocriticalness, and there is that which will not stumble. Where are you at? Is this your life? Is God's love abounding in you at all? If it isn't, maybe you don't know the Lord. You see, because we love because He first loved us. And analyze your heart rightly. You know, the heart is all deceitful above all else. Lord, show me my heart. Show me where I really stand with You, that I might truly turn to You and be saved. And if I do know You, that I would see things rightly and live rightly as I trust and obey Your Son, Jesus Christ.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, help me get my arms around this idea of being fruitful. How do I know if I'm actually being fruitful?
Well, Dave, in regard to love, the first fruit of the Holy Spirit, as we've seen today, true biblical love is bound by biblical truth rightly applied to life with insight, discretion, and discernment. This is where the rubber meets the road in a Christian life, where God's Word applies to real situations. So, brothers and sisters, how are you doing? Do you have a proper view of biblical love? Do you rightly see biblical love as encompassing and growing in the true knowledge of Christ? Do you rightly see biblical love as a discerning love, a love that makes discerning judgments that will manifest then in doing what is excellent from God's sight in relationship to others? I hope and pray after today's teaching, you do.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.